Well, welcome all to the DSSA Ops call for today, August 8th. Gisela, do you want to do a quick roll call for us?
Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. We have Jim Galvin, Jörg Schweiger, Mark Costas, Mike O'Connor on today's call. From staff, we have Patrick Jones, Bart Borswinkle, I'm not sure if he's on the audio line already, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And apologies noted from Olivier. There is no transcript for this call, but there is a recording, so if you do say your names, it does assist us. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Gisela. Speaking of recordings, I may have missed it, but I couldn't find the MP3 of last week's call. And I gave myself a whole bunch of action items
I sent it, Mikey. Let me just check my email list.
Oh, hi, Julie. Sorry, I didn't have you on the... Julie, you did send it around.
I sent it, Mikey, I sent it on the 2nd of August.
Oh, good.
It says ops.dssa call 01 August colon MP3.
Okay. I don't have you in my filter for those. Sorry about that.
All right.
I'll go. There are some action items left over from that I didn't do that I will do this week. Sorry about that.
No problem. I'll send it to you separately so you have it right in front of you.
Oh, that'd be great.
No problem.
All right. I'm really lame. I don't have an agenda for today's call. I'm really sorry about that. I think that the agenda for the next work group call will be the same. Work on the criteria discussion. I think we made some good progress last week. We have sort of a fork in the road coming up that we might want to talk about, so that might be one agenda, is how far to take the criteria before we switch over to summarizing the work in Singapore on actual threats. Since threats is our primary deliverable and criteria is sort of an add-on, I was thinking that what we might want to do is do one more round of sort of shaping up the summary of the criteria discussion and then parking it for a while. Not to discard it, but to keep the momentum going on the summarization process and get a summary started, at least, on the threats. Partly that's because that way, by the end of August, when people are back from holiday, we would have the summarizing done. And we could really dig into the work stuff. But that's just my thought. That's not something I feel terribly strongly about. Would be interested in reactions one way or the other from the rest of you. So that's one thing we could talk about. I think we're also getting fairly close on the summary of handling confidential information. Your questions are really the only ones that came through, or at least the only ones that I saw. And so what I thought we might do is spend a minute or two on today's call, because some of those were more questions aimed at us than they were to the whole group. Questions like, what's the role of the co-chair group in this model that's evolving? And so we might want to spend a few minutes on that today, just to get that done so that people don't have to listen to that. Those were really the only two things that I had anything to talk about. Anything else that people want to add to the list? Okay, well, let's do that and maybe try and make this a brief call and get on with our respective days. Back to the criteria summary discussion. Does that scheme of mine sound like a good plan? Sort of try and tidy it up and then put it on hold for a little while and then come back to it when... I was thinking that the threat summary might also inform the criteria discussion a little bit, and that it might be useful to do that and see. But as I say, I don't have real strong feelings about that.
Hey, Mikey, this is Mark. I would appreciate moving on because I think you're right. We're gonna circle back, and it would be good to start getting into more of the meat.
Yeah, I think that everybody is feeling the need to stay focused on real meat, and I think criteria was a good sort of middle step between pure process handling confidential information and the meat, which is clearly the threat. And so, and I thought about, you know, that there's the point that came up at least one call ago that you raised, Mark, which is that some of the threats are actually going to have to be divulged as confidential information.
Yep.
And I was thinking that what we could do is create a container for it during the summary and say, all right, this is the summary of the threats that came out at Singapore. We know that there are some more that need to be explored in the confidential information process. So we do need to drive the confidential information thing to closure in order to get onto that. And I don't think that gets in the way of summarizing what we did in Singapore, because none of that was confidential. But at the same time, we do have a gating item with the confidential information thing, and maybe we can drive that to closure on our call so that we're really not getting in the way of the group's focus on content, you know, the real meat of the thing. So, okay, let's sort of do one last call for cries of outrage on this notion of moving on from criteria after this call. Last chance to scream protest on that. And then if we... Jörg, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not screaming protest. I was just wondering who's going to do the summary of it, and who's going to finally say that this is going to be the result for any kind of result we are up to prepare. So in this very first case, it for sure would be the criteria. So who's summarizing and who says that's going to be it and we're going to publish that one?
Well, we've been publishing them all along. If you go out to the wiki page, what I've been doing is at the end of each call, I've been publishing the current state of the various things each week. And since we're I don't think that we're really done with criteria. I think we're just going to leave it for a while and then circle back to it. So I'm not sure that we actually need to do anything special to it. It's already out there in whatever state it is. And then when we get to the point where we feel like it's time to circle back to it and finish it, I guess my presumption is that the work will evolve to a point where we'll all sort of recognize, oh, this is something that somebody needs to go off and write something about. But I imagine that the outline will be quite detailed by then, and that it'll be pretty clear. And then maybe that's
another
topic for us, which is, do we want to encourage people from the working group to write those paragraphs, or do we want to let... My recollection is that what we were going to probably do is get to a point and then say to Bart and Julie and all the rest of the folks on the staff, why don't you all take a crack at a first draft based on this outline that we've worked up, and then let us, the working group, edit it. And if that's still the plan, I'm not convinced that Criteria's outline is really at that place yet. I think it's a really good summary of what we did in Singapore, but I think once we've done the summary of the actual threats, we're going to find some things that we might want to drive back into Criteria. And so I wouldn't think that we'd want to push it off to the writer-type people quite yet. Does that work for you, York?
Yeah, perfectly. Okay.
Okay.
I just wasn't aware, but that's perfectly good.
Well, that's because I've never said anything about it. So, you know, I'm really disappointed that you can't read my mind from 4,000 miles away.
I'm working on it.
Okay. On to the confidential information thing. Jörg, you had a whole series of questions, and that document was really hard for me to read. So I've read your questions once, but I don't have them in front of me. Do you want to sort of take us through that?
Neither have I.
Well, in that case, let me take a short pause and dig that document back out again, because I could do it, but it was really hard because it came to me in the wrong orientation. It was vertical. And, so let me. Find it. I have to open it with a different reader than I usually use. That's why I'm so lame. But I'm getting.
Yeah, I'm trying to do exactly the same thing, and
it opens in Adobe. Doesn't open in things like Preview for me. And so you might try that. And then I have to rotate it somehow. There we go. All right. So I've got it. So for the rest of you, let me share the current version of it. Confidential information. This is version 1. Let me share the current state because it's not. It's different than the one that's up in the room. Here it comes. All right, there it is. I'm going to give you guys the ability to navigate on your own. No, I'm not. I'm going to actually grab navigation back because that way I can sort of focus on things. York's first question was on this page, and his question was, his point really was that at the end of sensitivity, the point that that's in this draft is that it may require compartmentalization across subteams, and York's point is, or even within subteams. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that, York?
Yeah, sure, I can do. Basically, what came to my mind was that as I'm not aware of the fact how we're going to organize subgroups, there might be somebody in the group that somebody who is going to deliver some sensitive information just feels that he doesn't want that information or that particular information being seen by one or two parties within a certain sub-team. So that's basically all. And to more generally, that this comes back to the question I think I had before, and that was on how are we going to set up the sub-teams at all?
Yeah, I think that is the key. You know, the how do we set up sub-teams question is the key question. And I don't have strong views, so why don't we brainstorm a little bit about that as a group and come up with a proposal for the larger group and see what they think. My thought, it seems like one possibility is that people simply volunteer to be on sub-teams, depending on what sub-teams are required.
Mike, what I had in mind asking this particular question was that if you recall what the function of DNS ORAC was supposed to be, then one of its functions was, or the intention at least, was that they would sum threats and that they would be informed of any kind of threat and that they going to make out something about it. And when I asked those guys from DNS ORAC if they ever have received any information on certain attacks or threats, the answer was clearly no, we haven't. And I think the reason for that is that, yeah, most of the people just do not want to share these kind of information. So we do have to make really sure that the subgroups are really absolutely being trusted. In the other way around, we never ever get further than DNS ORAC got.
Yeah, and clearly that would be terribly sad if we got stuck that way. What do other people think about this? What's a good way to do this? Has anybody got any sort of preconceived ideas that they want to share or try out? Because I really don't. And for example, I don't particularly feel like I need to be on any of the sub-teams because, you know, I'm not a currently practicing security guy, so I'm not going to have any threats that I can share. And except for my incredibly good sense of humor and brilliant ability to run a meeting, I'm not sure I add a whole lot to a sub-team. So those of you who do deal with this kind of stuff, have you been thinking about this at all and thinking about ways to populate these subgroups with folks that won't present that problem that you're just described?
Probably, Mikey, I might want to add one more information that DNS ORAC is currently very very clear on the issue, and they know that they had a problem. So what they are just right now more or less currently doing is that they try to build trust, and they are doing that in a way, or they propose to do it in a way that they say, we're going to set up a group of trusted people, and this is kind of blooming out from the DNS ORAC chairs, and the chairs themselves, they are going to invite on a trusted base more people to that group. I have no idea on how large such a group might become, and I'm certainly not within the process, so I can't digest whether they've gotten any further or not. But what I do know is that they're trying to fight the problem by setting up a procedure I just described. So, setting up a network of trusted people that starts by the chairs of the DNS OARC. And I wonder, probably we could use, say, a certain subgroup of DNS OARC, or the group they are currently building up.
I don't know that group. Which group is that?
So you know DNS OARC, do you?
No.
Okay. Am I just pronouncing it wrongly, or does nobody else tell?
You are pronouncing it correctly. It's a group that Paul Bixby started up a number of years ago with major DNS providers, and people basically have to agree to a bunch of documentation and usually involving some money to actually join a secret group.
So I'm not sure that I'm comfortable trying to combine or link to that group, just given our charter.
One of the things that's interesting to me is, based on what Jörg has said about what DNS OARC is trying to do, is I think we need to look at it from a contractual basis. And there has to be really some sort of piece of signed paper that's put in place for this small group of people who can vet these things. And I think that's what's going to make organizations who have this information that they really don't want to give out will be a little bit more comfortable in providing.
I'm going to take a telephone process checkpoint here. At least for me, there's a boatload of echo on the line.
Me as well.
Same here.
Yeah. So in other circumstances, that's because the call is coming through speakers. But I don't think that this is going on the Adobe chat. So is it still echoey?
It's a lot better now for me.
Oh, yeah, way better. Whoever you are, whatever you did was very cool. Great job. Okay, so back to this puzzler. Patrick, go ahead.
I was just going to ask if there are any participants in the DSSA working group that are also active in this group in OARC and could provide some explanation of what it is or why it might be a good example for the group on the next whole working group call.
Hi, this is Bart. I know one or two members of the DSSA are members of DNS OARC as well. So one of them is Roy Irons.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Maybe one or two others. So
yep.
We could ask them. And maybe do it offline, and so do it in the background so you don't have to use that time on the next call to discuss this again. But then you have a model, and the ops has a model as well to work from.
Yeah, I was thinking that the members of the DNS OARC might not want to have a spotlight shined upon them on the call. So I think that's another good reason maybe to approach them offline.
Yeah, that's one, but it's then you're back to, say, what you wanted to avoid, as far as I recall, having procedural discussions at this stage and work more on the substance.
Yeah.
So I put a suggestion in the chat. This is Patrick. Maybe we could invite Roy to the next ops call so that he could give an overview of this.
Oh, that'd be great. That sounds terrific. Any other, if we could get even a couple of the others, sort of the more the merrier on this, it seems to me. Okay. Mark, do you know these folks? Can you reach out to them?
Yeah, I just looked at the membership. I guess my organization is a part of it. So, yeah, I'll reach out to them. I, In fact, I'm speaking with Paul Vixie this Thursday. So.
Oh, well, that would be, I think, really helpful. And I think that there's really two channels to reassure keep the trust level high. One is what we're talking about here, where the information will be attributed to the organization, and it will thus be perhaps embarrassing or damaging if it's released. I think the other channel is the unattributed information. But I guess that doesn't have a whole lot to do with the actual formation of the subgroup. And clearly that's really important. Maybe what we do is on the call on Thursday, we say, we're not going to work on confidential information stuff. We're working on this issue, and we'd like to take a week off from the DSSA, the whole call, while we puzzle our way through some of this stuff and return to it in a week so that we don't soak up all those folks' time while we're trying to catch up on something. Now, are there other kind of... It seems to me that that's a fundamental question that we need to sort out. In your pile of questions, Jorg, is that the main question, or were there other fundamental questions that we need to put on our list? Because...
Yeah, actually, my screen just went dark, so I do have to boot my system, and I can't give you an answer if I haven't got the document in front of me.
Okay, well, I'll do my lame summary stuff again. And that'll remind you, I bet. In the next page, the type 2 information, York's comment was, what's the position, or the positioning of the ops group is unclear. And in fact, I'm not sure it had to do with that particular bullet. But it's...
Yeah, I was just wondering about the information flow, I think it was. So once the certain confidential information has been processed by a subgroup that has been trusted, so where does the information goes to, and what's the role of the co-chairs, or do they even have a role over here, or is it just been released to the complete working group as a whole? And as far as I understood, the idea now, which became clearer in the last call, is that the information is in a certain way digested by a subgroup, and then it's been sanitized, and after this sanitization, it's been released to the group as a whole. And there is no specific role of the co-chairs whatsoever. Correct?
Correct. That's the way I think of it, is that the co-chairs don't really have a role in that. It's entirely up to the subgroup to agree that the information is now sufficiently scrubbed to be released basically to the world. And then once it gets to that point, the final call, if I go back up to this picture, the final call gets made by the people who provided the information. So even after the subgroup has said, yeah, we feel that this information is sufficiently anonymized that nobody is going to be hurt by its release, the final decision gets made by the information providers themselves. I think you're right, Jorg. I don't think there's any role for us as a group in that process.
Okay. So then I'm okay with that. As I said, I learned to understand what the model really was was you were thinking about, and it's fine with me right now.
Okay.
So we probably can move just to the open question section. And this clearly, once again, is more process-oriented. So and here are some questions that I've been relaying before. So how do we staff the subgroups, and who decides who is in and who is out? So this is typically all about the foundation of the subgroups.
I just figured out I can do something cool here. Hold on. I think I can anyway. Yeah, there are they. There are Yorick's questions. Wish I'd figured this out a while ago. Up in the note, up in the upper right corner. And I think that this is maybe the series of questions that we would like to hear from the OARC folks about. So maybe, Mark, when you reach out to them, maybe this is the basis of your reaching out, where you say, this is our puzzle, and these are some questions that we've got. And let them start thinking about it, because if they ran into the exact same problem and they've got ideas on how to solve it, that seems like a good
thing. Sure.
Okay. Now, do we have preliminary answers? I mean, you all are a lot smarter about this than me. This is where I tend not to want to so dominate the conversation, because, again, I'm not even sure that I'll be in any of these subgroups.
So this is Mark again. Speaking as a technologist looking at these things, I'm not really going to put much thought to it until something actually comes up and say, okay, how is it going to fit into this? Oh, it doesn't. It needs this. And then I'll start thinking about the framework. And I think if we have sort of a skeleton and we start tuning it on the way, that would be much more useful.
Well, that's one of the things that we could do in the summarizing of the threats, is we could start identifying the kinds of threats that can't, I mean, this is this sort of circular logic that I ran into, which was we can't even describe the threat without being in a subgroup. So if we could figure out a generic enough description to give the subgroup a reason to exist, then it does strike me that it's a lot easier to staff a subgroup once we know a little bit more about what it's going to be working on. That's where I was thinking that it might be useful to have some preliminary answers to Jorg's questions. So maybe what we do is we come up with that skeleton after talking to Roy and some of the others on our next call.
It sounds great.
Yeah, okay. So what we'll do is we'll focus our next call on this conversation and see if we can sketch out a process. Because I'm not, frankly, not terribly adverse to the idea of this sort of outward building trust model that says, okay, there are a few people and they are chartered with the task of working outward. I guess another question that sort of comes up is, do we even publish the names of the people in the group? Or is even that enough of a clue that it can lead to trouble? Again, maybe it it's better to tackle that question once we're a little bit closer to understanding what kind of information's in there. Anyway,
Mikey, this is Jörg again. Just one question towards Jim. Jim, are there any experience the ESSEC might have concerning how to solicit confidential information? Because I thought that you might have been encountering the same problem. Or are you not dealing with any information from outside at all?
In fact, so this is Jim, in my history, I actually don't remember specifically dealing with secret information or confidential information. We've always said that we would and could, but I actually don't remember it formally coming up in anything that we've actually done. We have Mark here, too. Mark, do you remember anything?
The only thing that came close to this was SiteFinder.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking about that, but there was so much public information about that, and we did have those two public forums in gathering information. I don't remember anything specifically that was held confidential as part of preparing that report.
Well, it's interesting. I was on the other side in that one. So there were things that were not brought to the table by VeriSign, because they were considered proprietary.
Right, but in that case, ESSEC would not have dealt with it, so we wouldn't have had the issue to deal with. I mean, you know, perhaps you might have talked to Steve directly, and he might have understood things, but don't remember there ever being a committee, if you will, or more than one person who would have had to deal with that information or have it.
Well, actually, it came up in one of the sessions downtown that Steve chaired, where VeriSign was asked to actually provide some information, they refused to do so. So that's the only thing is kind of close. And it was the business guys. It wasn't the tech guys who refused.
Right. So I think the short answer to your question is just that although we say that we will always deal with confidential information, interestingly, we've never actually had the issue to deal with, never had to address it. So we only have a skeleton or a framework of a process or procedures, much like here. And in that context, I actually agree with what Mark said earlier. You know, I'd rather see an actual, you know, case and issue that we have to deal with, and then we start to fill out the framework accordingly, rather than trying to develop all of this process up front.
Yeah, and it's not like there's already thought put towards it, so it's not like we're studying from. Are starting from scratch.
So why don't we learn a little bit more from Roy and others next week? Sketch out an idea based on that learning, and then park this. And then, as threats discussion gets underway, Mark and Jim, you guys are probably going to be the ones that are going to have to keep an eye out for threats that don't get identified. I mean, this is funny negative logic. And if you can figure out a way, I mean, one of the things that we could do as the co-chairs is we could make a co-chairs subgroup and essentially go, you know, right now all of our stuff is public. These transcripts, the recordings are out on the net for any and all to listen to, et cetera, et cetera. But we could form a subgroup of ourselves to discuss that and see if we could use that as the example from which we develop, the real process. And maybe what we do is we rely on, Mark and Jim to sort of keep an eye out for those examples. Would that be a way to move forward on this? Not that we would become a subgroup that actually evaluated it.
So I'm having a hard time parsing this, Mikey.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's hard to describe.
Yeah.
And I agree with Mark. I'm not really quite there. But the other thing that occurs to me is, you know, we have a lot of smart people on this group. Why should this small subset of us, or even looking at Mark and I, be responsible for looking for gaps and holes? I mean, I have a suspicion there's going to be plenty of people looking for gaps and holes.
Yeah. No, the puzzler that Mark raised, I think, last week was that some of the things are... I've always presumed that the description of a threat was not confidential. You know, just naming it. That we wouldn't have to get confidential in order to do that. That when we began analyzing it, that then the confidential information would be required. And then it'd be easy to form a subgroup because there would be people who have expertise, et cetera, et cetera. But the point that Mark raised was that just describing the threat may be confidential. And that's the use case that I'm sort of struggling with, because, you know, you get into this, well, I can't even describe it. So without describing it, I can't form a subgroup because I can't describe the subgroup. You see what I mean? It's like that's the one that I'm puzzling on.
And right. So, you know, this is Jim. You're basically in the space of you don't know what you don't know.
Yep.
And you're absolutely right. People can't tell you. Sometimes they can't even give you a high-level description or a name for something, because that tells you just enough so that you now know what to go research to figure out how to actually do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think there's anything we can do to cover the use case of you don't know what you don't know. If people tell you, then you know and you document it. If you can't think of it and nobody tells you, then, you know, you move on, right?
Well, yeah, and the only difficulty with that is if we miss something really important as a result. And, you know, maybe what it is Mark, if you could work with somebody you trust, like Jim or, you know, whoever, to try and sanitize the description enough so that it could get into the summary of threats, so that then we can form a sub. You know, see what I mean? The only way out of this loop is to get some little bit of a piece of a corner of the knowledge.
So this is Jim. Let me phrase it differently. The only way out of this piece is to get an anonymous contribution. Okay, which means, and it's not completely anonymous, because you're going to have a trusted person or two who's going to have to hear it and describe it, and they're going to offer it up without telling you the source.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, the issue itself is, you know, specific to the source, in which case they're probably smart enough to know that, and they're not going to tell you in the first place.
Right. Right. And
you know,
and the trick is the issue that Mark raised, which is coming up with a description which in and of itself does give the clue. That's the tricky bit. And
But I would argue that we don't need all of this process for dealing with anonymous contributions. You know, I mean, you tell people you're willing to accept anonymous contributions, and you identify a trusted path, if you will, for dealing with that.
Right.
And people either believe your path is trusted or they don't.
Yep.
But that's different than this issue of dealing with confidential information. And, I mean, it seems to me that the confidential information, in my mind, was always about gathering empirical data because you wanted to offer some support or justification for what you were saying.
Yeah.
And that's the confidential information. The business of threats, you know, I mean, you don't know what you don't know. If you know about it, or if you're willing to take anonymous input and people are willing to trust your anonymous input path, then we're certainly going to document everything we know about. We may or may not have empirical data to support it, but, you know, that's just the nature of what we're dealing with. So I'm still of the opinion, you know, that I think we've got enough here for this dealing with confidential data. I'm certainly willing to, you know, to talk next week a little bit more with Roy and see where that takes us, but You know, I'm comfortable with the framework that we have, with some open questions, and you know, when it becomes time to deal with it, then we deal with it.
Well, I'm fine with that. I think it would be useful to get a little bit of thought process about forming the groups. So I think the call with Roy would be really helpful for that, because I don't think we've really got much in this framework yet about forming them. But I agree. I don't feel a need to belabor it just yet. The one thing
I have a word, Mikey. This is York.
Pardon me? Go ahead.
Yeah. I think we are discussing specifics of specific situations, and I don't feel the need that we do have to be absolutely comprehensive with every threat that might be out there. And if I'm referring back to the charter, that is one thing about it is that we should try to figure out whether or not the stability and security is in danger or not. And referring to something that can't even be mentioned, because then it would give away a clue, as Mark said, I think there are basically two different ways that, and the first would be, it's the bad guys having this idea on how to endanger stability and security. If that would be the case, they're not going to tell us. If it was us, okay, so what I would assume is that these guys who do know that there is a certain threat out there, that they are working on it and that they're trying to mitigate it. So basically what has been happening to, let's say, the Kaminsky bug, or let's say what has been happening to the bug that appeared in Bind a couple of weeks or days ago. So usually the problem that can even be spoken of gets, in a way, gets mitigated anyway. So what we do have to deal with is certain dangers we do know that do exist and that are out there and that are used all of the time. And what we do want to do is just digest the current state of these known threats to stability and security. And we do not want to disseminate yet again some more dangers that might be around, and probably some of those we neither nor the good or the bad guys have already been detecting. So that's probably basically the bottom line. What I was just trying to explain is I don't feel that we do have a specific need to be comprehensive and to try to list each and every threat. Just leave it to those we know that are out there and that we do have to tackle.
That solves the huge problem that I've been in circular logic mode about. Mark, this is something that you know about that I don't. If we were essentially to say we're going to work on threats that are already out in public view, given the threat that you're thinking of, without describing it at all, would passing over that threat or those threats have a dramatic impact on the quality of our report at the end of the day? Because, you know, we're not going to be assert. We're not going to actually mitigate any threats. We're simply a group trying to assess the state of affairs. Would we be missing something critical if we passed over that non-mentionable threat?
That's a hard one to answer because I'm not sure what the threat would be. It all depends, but I don't think we should get wrapped around the axle in this. We should just move ahead, and if you actually have something like that, then we'll deal with it at that point.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I'm 100% in agreement with the rest of you that you know, and that's what essentially what I was going to do is I was going to park the confidential information discussion until we got quite a bit further down the road, because I was sort of in the same boat as Jim, that the confidential information wouldn't happen until we actually got into the empirical analysis phase, which is quite some time off. And so I was sort of thrown into a bit of a tizzy by the notion that we couldn't even describe the threats. So with that, why don't we have the conversation with Roy, just so we can sketch out that process, or at least a few options for the process of how to form the groups when we need it, and then we'll just park the whole thing, probably for several months until we get to the point where we're actually forming subgroups to analyze threats. Does that work? I'm hearing the golden silence. Good deal. Well, I'm glad I know that it sometimes is difficult to grind through all these little nitty things that I come up with, but it really helped me a lot to work on this today, so I appreciate it. I have one more item for you all. I would like to make you all a test case. Dang it, not on the next call. I tell you what, what I've been doing with Glenn is working on the audio part of being able to divide the Adobe Room into subsections. And I need a few people to try some experiments with. Would anybody like to just set up a time sometime where a few of us got on the Adobe Room so that I can try out some things with a different conference call provider and, what this is for is primarily for the meeting that's coming up in Dakar, where we may have a lot of people on the phone, including me, and I was thinking that it might be neat to be able to do that in Adobe. And what I've discovered is that it's easy to divide the Adobe Room into subgroups, but it's trickier to have the audio follow those subgroups. And I've got a solution to that the folks from the ICANN IT organization have provided, but I need to test it. And so I just need a few hand raises of folks who'd be willing to try something. So anybody want to be guinea pigs on this? I haven't been watching the chat. Oh, it doesn't need to be in my... doesn't need to be in my time zone. York.
Yeah, but makes it a lot easier.
Well, but I can do it. You know, times like this are great for me. It's like early in the morning. It's before I go on my walk. I can do it late at night. I'm pretty flexible on this. And if not, what I'll do, I might just recruit a few other ICANN folks, but what I was planning to do is do it on next week's call for us, but if we're going to have Roy, I don't want to burden him with what may be a technological clusterfuck. I'd rather have the testing done somewhere else, so not get overwhelming him, so I'll go recruit me some guinea pigs somewhere else. Anyway, that's all I had on the list for today. Anything else that people want to talk about before we wrap up? All right. I'll see you guys on the Thursday call. Thanks, all. Thanks, Gisela, for, as always, taking such good care of us. And we'll carry on Thursday.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.